Hey, Trey here. Two things. First, I'm not sure if you know it, but Us and Them was honored with four Associated Press Broadcasters Awards, including one for excellence in public service through journalism. Second, it's the time for the Spring Pledge Drive at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And if you value the work that our Us and Them team does in telling the stories about the things that divide Americans, would you consider making a pledge of support to West Virginia Public Broadcasting? You can call or text to 1-800-RADIO-87, or you can go online to WV Public and find the little red button at the upper right-hand corner. And when you pledge, let them know where you live and that you're a listener of Us and Them. Doing this would be a big help for our show and the other great programming at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And thank you so much.
Comandante, welcome to Berkeley.
Berkeley!
It's the last communist stronghold in the whole pinche world.
Back in the 1990s, I was clicking through TV channels, and I landed on this skit about a guy who brings the Marxist revolutionary Che Guevara back from the dead.
I have so many things to tell you, I don't know where to begin. Basically, you're dead.
What?
It was a show by a trio of Latino comedians who called themselves Culture Clash. I cracked up when I saw this bit. A Chicano activist from Berkeley brings Che back to life, and then he's got to bring him up to date.
Comandante, basically, there has been some good news and there has been some bad news.
Tell me the good news.
Bueno, Nicaragua had a Marxist government.
¡Que viva Nicaragua!
But they were voted out of power 2 years ago.
¡Qué malo, Nicaragua!
We lost Czechoslovakia, Romania, and Bulgaria.
¿Qué? Yeah. What happened to Russia, the Communist Party?
The party's over, Holmes.
¡Get off!
The Culture Clash guys have been on stage for more than 30 years, and they're still at it. They do skit comedy and full-length plays. I've been thinking about them lately because one of their best-known shows was called Border Town. It's a satirical look at the political fights over the U.S. border with Mexico. They staged the show back in 1998. The border was big news back then, but of course, it's become even bigger news in the past couple of years.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall.
Yeah!
Mark my words.
Yeah!
If the guys in Culture Clash say the news from the border was too big to ignore in 1998, how could they possibly ignore it today? From West Virginia Public Broadcasting and PRX, this is Us and Them, the podcast where we tell stories from America's culture divides. I'm Trey Kay. I think the reason I really dig Culture Clash is because they interview real people and tell stories, kind of like I do. But they do it for the stage, not for the news. And they are partly the slapstick of Cheech and Chong and the oral history of Studs Terkel, but you can see Brecht and Beckett and Aristophanes in their work. I don't mention it much on this program, but before I was a journalist, I was a theater guy. My degree is in theater. And back when I was studying, there was something I heard several of my professors say. Movies are about plot. TV is about character. Theater is about ideas. And ideas are what is going on with the Culture Clash guys. They like to put the world under a microscope. They skewer public figures and poke sacred cows and they get a kick out of making people in the audience squirm a little bit, no matter what part of the political spectrum they're on. So I was intrigued when I read that the Culture Clash guys are bringing back some of their stage shows from 20 years ago.
Will you send us a link of this doohickey when you get her all polished up and sounding good, man?
Yes, we definitely will.
Today, I'm speaking with Richard Montoya. He's one-third of Culture Clash. He played the Chicano activist that we heard at the top of the show. He says they do scads of interviews when developing their characters. So when they decided to update Border Town, He says they grabbed their video cameras and audio recorders and headed back to the border.
We found ourselves in Nogales, Mexico. This is 2016. And so I seen firsthand how the border and the border towns had changed and taken a much darker turn. There was much more death on the border. The cartels had ratcheted up. The Mexican government had ratcheted up. And the militiamen and the immigration enforcement had also ratcheted up on our side with the advent of the election of Donald Trump and his policies. So there we were in the heart of it. So the border situation got updated for me. The humor could still be there, but it wasn't the joke fest of the 90s.
Right.
It was very, very serious. A 15-year-old boy, Jose Antonio Elena Rodriguez, had been shot and killed by U.S. Border Patrol agents who had shot from America into Mexico. This is 2 weeks after the Trayvon Martin acquittal. So all these connections began to happen.
Richard's two partners in Culture Clash are Herbert Siguenza and Ricardo Salinas. The three of them conjure up all kinds of characters on stage. There's a white civilian militiaman who patrols the border with his AR-15. There's an African-American newspaper reporter who covers inner-city crime. In the updated version of Border Town, Richard steals the spotlight as Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
I'm Joe Arpaio. Welcome to the Man Cave.
Culture Clash interviewed Joe Arpaio while he was still sheriff in Maricopa County, Arizona. That was before he was convicted of contempt of court and then pardoned by President Trump.
I am the proud son of Italian-American immigrant parents. My parents migrated here from Italy legally. They came in through Ellis Island legally, made a life for themselves in the Boston, Mass. Area legally.
On stage, the scene is an extended monologue. The sheriff paces his office and tells his story to a woman holding a video camera. Which is pretty much what happened to Richard Montoya and his crew in real life. He says they were really surprised when Sheriff Arpaio approved their interview request.
And I told our group, look, we're all lefty theater artists from San Francisco and L.A. We wear that proudly on our sleeve. But I did tell our crew, you know, shirts and ties, let's go in. We all cannot stand Joe Arpaio, but let's go in like we're just professional people. And there was a trick in that. He kind of relaxed a little bit. And like I say, Trey, before I know it, you know, hours had gone by and I just found a guy that was a little cut off from the rest of the world, a George C. Scott kind of guy, cut from an old mold that we don't often get, that unapologetic guy that had worked for Nixon. He had worked for the DEA in Texas. This guy knew where the bodies were buried. And it just took a matter of time. After all the BS, he just started to spin that yarn, and his paranoia became evident. So there's a Shakespearean level drama going on there that if I go in there just hating the man, I won't get any of that. I wasn't going to fall in love with him either, but he got to me, Trey.
And it's that thing right there, why I love these Culture Clash guys. I find them very us-y and them-y in their approach. I mean, sure, Richard and his team have an opinion or a slant. He makes it clear from the get-go that he doesn't like Joe Arpaio. And based on that dislike, he could have developed his piece based on things that he'd read from news articles. And his portrayal of Arpaio probably would have been more two-dimensional and cartoonish. But Richard did his own research. He gets the story from the horse's mouth. And in doing this, he suspends his preconceptions with the hope of getting something deeper. Now, did he do a 180 and begin to love Joe Arpaio? I think not. But what he gets is a richer, more nuanced understanding of Sheriff Joe. And I love this. Richard told me that before he came in for the interview, Sheriff Joe's team did a little research on him.
They had Googled me a little bit. So he's like, oh, your father fought in Korea, huh? He goes, yeah, I fought in the Battle of Incheon, you know, and I feared that he played me, which he did a little bit, and he played me a little bit like a fiddle.
And I love that Richard felt like Arpaio played him. I mean, as I said, Richard could have stayed at home and based his Arpaio character off of news clippings, but he didn't. And Sheriff Joe could have rejected the interview request from a lefty Chicano thespian,
but he didn't. These guys got into each other's space and risked breathing the same air. And getting played is part of the risk of making an intimate connection.
But in the entree, I got to play him, that well-heeled Anglo audience. Many of them probably found themselves stomaching Donald Trump. This piece hit them, I think, especially hard, because we could expose the charming devil for who he was.
You writers, you lefty liberal journalists, you chroniclers like to come into my office decade after decade and try to find some dirt on Joe Arpaio. You like to dig in my background, find some sexy stuff, but you never could. I've been married to the same gal for 57 years, so the only way to go after Joe Arpaio is to lie about him, say that I'm a racist and a profiler and a misogynoir and all this nonsense. But I'm still here. I'm still standing. God's walking out and looking out for me, you know, smoking Joe, still here. When I ran the DEA in Texas years ago, we ran full boogie along the border, posse comitatus, Stetson hats, the holsters, the ponies. We were stemming that tide of the brown tar Mexican heron that was coming in from Matamoros right directly into Brownsville. So we did a terrific job. We had the presidents calling me from Mexico and Richard Nixon calling me, phone ringing off. Those were exciting times, terribly exciting times. And I tell you what, damn phone's not ringing so much anymore. Sometimes I got to check it. People aren't calling as much as they used to. They say that Sheriff Joe is toxic. I cost the people too much money. No one's calling me to say, hey, Joe, why don't you chime in on the midterms? You know, how about an endorsement, Joe? Hey, Joe, how you doing? Hey, Joe, where are you going with that gun in your hand? You know, none of that sort of stuff. Hey, Joe, why don't you come to John McCain's funeral? Nothing like that.
There's something about Richard's portrayal of Joe Arpaio that I find really moving. And I guess it comes from the process of listening to Arpaio and boiling him down to his essence, and then interpreting the character to an audience in a way that reveals in a way that I think can only happen in theater. The person's craziness and humanity all at the same time. In the end, we see Joe Arpaio as a lonely old man who's disconnected from his power.
We were told we're getting 15 minutes with the sheriff, you know. And the truth is, his phone didn't ring in the 2 hours we were there. We almost had to cut him off, you know, because they kept him hermetically sealed in his bunker, and his office was beautifully appointed. Really a cement bunker on the top floor. And I mean cement and glass and all the accoutrement of a man who'd been serving the people for 40 years. Every gift, every Rotary Club, every Mason Club, every Knights of Columbus, you know, even the conservative casino Native Americans had bestowed upon this man every gadget and toy. Here's Joe with all his stuff.
I don't know why they want to give me so much crap. It's a pain in the keister, quite frankly. But I have to receive all this stuff with a modicum of grace, you understand. But it looks like the Southwest threw up on my credenza over here, like the goddamn Rose Bowl flea market, you know. But this is the private VIP invitation only to the Christmas party at Breitbart for Steve Bannon. Mr. Trump, give me the hat there. Oh, this is great here. The National Rifle Association of Arizona gave me this Thompson machine gun, you see. This was used in 1934 to capture John Dillinger at the Congress Hotel in Tucson, AZ. Rat-a-tat-tat. Goddamn, them were the days. Well, you just shoot them up, bang them up, you know. And it got a wonderful inscription here. It says to Sheriff Joe, that's me, stand your ground, open carry like Dirty Harry. Huh? Isn't that nice?
That's a depiction of Sheriff Joe Arpaio from the 2018 production of Border Town Now by Culture Clash. I'm Trey Kay, and you're listening to Us and Them, which is supported in part by the West Virginia Humanities Council, the CRC Foundation, and the Daywood Foundation.
In difficult times, music gives us peace, brings us together, and helps heal us. It calms our nerves and brightens our days. That's why we're bringing you classic episodes of Mountain Stage on air and in our podcast. This is Larry Gross, host of Mountain Stage. Find something that's familiar or brand new and feel the power of live music on our website, mountainstage.org.
We're talking with Richard Montoya, He's a founding member of Culture Clash. They're a trio of Latino comedians who do social satire. They got their start back in 1984.
These were the halcyon days of performance art and stand-up comedy all at the same time. We had just experienced what we call teatro, a kind of a Chicano theater movement that was wrapped inside the activism and civil rights of the farmworking fields of Cesar Chavez out here in the West.
Why are you called Culture Clash?
The name Culture Clash seemed to fit, but it wasn't just us as Latinos at odds with a dominant Anglo culture. There was plenty of clashing going on within the cultures. A Cuban from Miami is not a Chicano from L.A. A Puerto Rican is not a Dominican in New York. And then we began to explore these different parts of the country and become fascinated with exactly that. Well, what is a Haitian in Miami? What is a Jewish person on the Lower East Side? What is an Anglo-Gentile in the South? And we kind of got out of our navel-gazing of our identity politics of Chicanismo, and we started exploring the world by exploring America.
American culture. And our show is called Us and Them, so you weren't just kind of segregated over into Chicano culture. You were looking to kind of embrace all of America, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, Trey, we've done a really good job of segregating ourselves. We're kind of just staying in our fortified, ossified bunkers. You know, we tend to get really bunkered up, you know, we abide by all kinds of social norms and rules. And, you know, I'm a Chicano activist, therefore I can never relate to you. So it was kind of breaking out of that in a very real sense, kind of reaching across the aisles and sitting down with older generations of Cuban and Cuban Americans, people that hated Che Guevara, and me having to cover my Che Guevara tattoo dutifully inked on my forearm. You know, like I had drivers in Calle Ocho in Miami that said, you have to duct tape that tattoo because we'll all get killed. And you got a sense of that intensity. And we learned something, man. We learned something about people in Boston and Chicago and the borders and going up to Seattle, and your Chicano mind gets kind of blown, and then suddenly you're kind of thinking in terms of a worldview that you find other like-minded folks, and that's called growth as an artist. Otherwise, you die and you perish, and you'll be sitting at a Starbucks in L.A. with your laptop with a dark cloud over you. But if you're willing to leave that comfort zone, man, and you're willing to go out there, you know, there's a world. There's a world going on out there, and then it only gave us better tools in a toolbox to, if we wanted to explore our identity, for example, what was going on with conservative Hispanics versus radical Chicanos, what's the Dominican American experience in Washington Heights, what's going on, you know, in Brooklyn and the Bronx and the south of Bronx, and hopefully it opens up that mind. And for us, Trey, after all these years, it makes us better artists and artists with something to say so that we can roll into conservative Orange County or laid back Pasadena or an auditorium at the Gilroy Garlic Festival. It makes no never mind to us. What we do know is we've got something to say still, and it's more relevant than ever given the times that we're living in.
Richard Montoya says Culture Clash wants to have a give and take with the audience. When they revived their show Border Town in Pasadena last summer, they had a talkback session with the audience after every show during the entire month-long run. They say they weren't really sure what to expect.
L.A. is a very head for the turnstiles in the fourth inning type of town. I'm telling you, Dodgers could be tied at Dodger Stadium, fifth or sixth inning, everyone's heading for the parking lot.
But that didn't happen at these talkback sessions with the Culture Clash guys.
Hundreds of people stayed. That's unusual.
Culture Clash is reviving their Culture Clash in America show. They're calling the updated version Culture Clash Still in America. It runs at the South Coast Repertory in California starting in late December.
That's right.
You're going to be there in conservative Orange County with perhaps conservative people in the audience, and and you're going to be presenting them with something that might be a little bit uncomfortable?
Before the lights even go down, we're coming at them. Normally in a theater, it's ladies and gentlemen, you know, please, you know, shut off your cell phones, no recording. Our cell phone announcement is used to disarm. We actually want people to kind of lay their arms down for a moment, their inhibitions. So as the lights are going down, before the show even begins, you might hear something like this. Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, welcome to the South Coast Repertorio Theater in Costa Mesa, California, only one horrifying block from Santa Ana, home to more than 1 million Mexicans and endless caravans of illegal and undocumented human beings coming here to take over and move into your double wide at the Tustin Trailer Park just down the road. A final and gentle reminder to turn off your pinche cell phones. Thank you. Gracias. Tampoco should your old-school Mexican pagers buzz, or if you are caught sexting during the show, you will be removed from the theater and deported to Hawaiian Gardens, California, the tropical lanes of Orange County. Además, please take this moment to note the exit signs nearest you. In case of an emergency, please exit the theater in a non-hysterical, non-Hispanic fashion, and please, Anglo patrons, exit the theater first. In case of an earthquake, or should we fall into the Pacific Ocean, your seat cushion can be used as a flotation device. So please, sit back in your fine chair made of Corinthian leathers and enjoy Culture Clash. So we get a few laughs before the show starts, you know? That's our Borscht Belt, you know, that is our history. That's coming right from the comics in us, you know, and Costa Mesa, you know, one of the richest zip codes in Southern California, meaning the country, is one block from 1.5 million Mexicans in Santa Ana. And the police forces are different and the dynamics are different. And I've seen immigration sweeps, you know, and it's just not something that we equate with laid back, sunny Orange County beaches, that there's several police agencies and police forces constantly enforcing a low level war against brown people.
Wow.
So we try to find a laugh, Trey. We try to find the laugh.
And what sort of reaction do you get from that announcement and from the entire show when you perform in a place like Costa Mesa?
It's a little bit like a boxing match, and it's a welcome boxing match. And it's good to use that laughter, because that laughter is going to be used to get us deeper and deeper, you know, into the psyche. And we need that. I think that's why after 35 years, Culture Clash is still relevant. We don't bring Che Guevara back from the dead anymore. We've retired Che. But this other work, this work of America looking inward, is crucial, because those tiki torch dudes scare the hell out of us. Who are they? Are they my neighbor? And in Orange County, I'd rather have a boxing match and people respond. Very few people walk out, but I want to hear the gasps. I want to hear the disagreements and the agreements.
Why do you want to hear them?
Because it's honest and we can get the conversation going a lot better. I tell you, I have had more big white guys waiting for me at the bar in Orange County to buy me a beer or tequila or whatever I prefer. Hey, enjoyed your show, me and the missus. Didn't appreciate this one part. As opposed to being in a place like Berkeley, which the audience is so quiet, you know, and intelligent, but it's going to be proper and correct. And I'm telling you, I'd love to go back to Berkeley Rep. We have such a history there. But it's a little bit more fun doing the show in a place like Orange County. It is, because it's more boisterous.
It's very us and them. I mean,
it's just like your show, and people are going to let you know how they feel. They're not going to go quietly into the night.
That was Richard Montoya of the satirical comedy group Culture Clash. Their new show, Culture Clash Still in America, will be on stage beginning December 30th at South Coast Repertory in Costa Mesa, California. You've been listening to Us and Them.
Our team for this show is me, Trey Kay, Chris Julin, and Loretta Williams. Special thanks to Tanya Thompson of South Coast Repertory in Costa Mesa, California, and Mark Maxwell of KPFK in Los Angeles for helping us speak with Richard Montoya. Michael Lipton and Tristan Lozow wrote and performed the Us and Them show music. Mark Lerner designed our logo. The wonderful people at PRX and West Virginia Public Broadcasting make Us and Them possible. So do grants from the West Virginia Humanities Council, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the CRC Foundation, and the Daywood Foundation. Us and Them was originally developed with assistance from the mentorship program at AIR, the Association of Independents in Radio. We'll see you next time on Us and Them.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.